Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Hey, it's Coach John Quintero. Thanks for downloading and listening to The John Quintero Show. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's showtime.
San Diego,
hitting the airwaves live in America's finest city.
It's the John Quintero Show.
Doctor!
San Diego's only sports show with two born and raised San Diegans.
Let's face it, we're the most interactive talk show in Southern California.
Longtime coach and San Diego sports radio legend, John Quintero.
When the roster came out, they're benched. They don't have veterans on the bench right now. You got to have some veterans coming off that bench.
And his young, up-and-coming co-host, Braden Soprenes.
I mean, it was on me to bring a date, and I did it. So that's on me, but I still had a good time, Coach.
Why is he always calling me me?
Here is the coach, John Quintero.
Let's play the ball! Let's play the ball! Yeah!
Live and local on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, a very, very happy Thursday morning to everyone, and welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Coach John Quintero with you for the next 4 hours. We got a lot to cover coming off of that ball game last night, man. That was a flat-out heartbreaker. Padres losing 10 to the Dodgers, 1-0. Padres had ample opportunities to win the ball game last night, but they only went 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position last night. Dodgers not getting it done either. They're 1-for-9 last night and only 2-for-26 in the first couple of games. The Padres 2-for-17 in the first two ball games. A rubber game tonight of the three-game series. The Padres' magic number still sitting at 4. Boy, we got a lot to digest from last night, but I want to get everyone caught up on the NL East and the NL Wild Card right now. In the NL East, the Mets hold a one-game lead over Atlanta. The Mets win last night. They're now 98-58. Atlanta loses last night. They're 97-59, again, one game back. Last night, the Mets trailed 4-0, going to the bottom of the seventh against Miami. They pushed across two runs in the seventh, two more in the eighth, and they win it in the 10th inning on a one-out RBI walk-off single by Eduardo Escobar, 5-4. Atlanta lost at Washington last night in 10 innings, 3-2, in the National League Wild Card. Atlanta, the number one team right now. Of course, that could change over the next couple of days. It could be the New York Mets. But right now, the Padres, a 2.5-game lead over the Phillies, a 3-game lead over Milwaukee. The Padres sitting at 86-69. The Phillies at 83-71. And Milwaukee sitting at 83-72. They're a half game back of Philadelphia. And again, the Padres have a 3-game lead over Milwaukee along with the tiebreaker. Now, remember, Philadelphia has the tiebreaker right now over both Milwaukee and the Padres. But the Padres right now, even with the loss last night, they're still sitting in very, very good shape. Last night, the Phillies lost 4-2 at Wrigley Field against the Cubs, and the Phils now have lost 9 of their last 12, really going in the wrong direction. Milwaukee won at home against St. Louis 5-1. Today, Philadelphia at Chicago, and then tomorrow, Philadelphia opens up a four-game series in Washington at Nationals Park. They got a doubleheader on Saturday. In Milwaukee, they host Miami, the start of a four-game series today. So we'll keep you up to date on that. I want to get into the game, and I want to start with Joe Musgrove. And I read an article in the paper today regarding Joe. Remember the last start where he got taken out? We kind of go, wow, why'd they take him out so early? He's pitching pretty well. Well, he's had a little bit of a fatigued shoulder, and apparently he did some kind of exercise that kind of bothered his scapula, and he had to get treatment. And last night I thought Joe went out there and threw a very, very nice ball game. Once again, the Dodgers do a great job of fouling off pitchers, extending at bats. And last night, Joe, 5 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 4 walks. He hit Max Muncy. He had 8 strikeouts, left the bases loaded in the first and fifth, left 9 runners in all on the bases in his 5 innings. He threw 106 pitches. And you go back to first game of the series, the Dodgers did it again to Blake Snell. 5 innings where he only gave up that 1 hit, but they forced him to throw 96 pitches. I mean, I don't think there's a team in baseball that does a better job of extending at-bats than the Los Angeles Dodgers. They also, with that win last night, set their all-time. Think about all the great teams in Brooklyn, all the teams that have been championship teams in L.A. They set their team regular season record last night with 107 wins. That's an amazing stat. An amazing stat, 107. They got one more to go against the Padres, and they got 6 to finish the year against the Colorado Rockies. Last night, the Padres actually out-hit the Dodgers 7-5. Padres did not have an extra base hit last night. Dodgers had a couple of doubles last night. Padres made 1 error last night. Dodgers didn't make any. And the difference in the ball game, that little looper out there to center field, Freddie Freeman, RBI single, and brought home Mookie Betts to make it 1-0. Padres, they couldn't find a way to get it done. And Bob Melvin is really getting chastised by a lot of fans. I mean, a lot of people right now really second guessing Bob Melvin. And I want your opinion on this. Now, when you take a look, Padres had ample opportunities to win last night. And it just didn't come down to the bottom of the 10th inning. Okay? I mean, the bottom line, they're not swinging well with runners in scoring position. But the Dodgers have been even worse, but the series is tied at 1 game apiece. Now, you go to the bottom of the 10th last night. Got a runner on second base. And Austin Nola, who really has been swinging the bat exceptionally well. In fact, last night, he had 2 hits last night. He had 2 of the Padres' 7 hits last night. He was supposed to lead off the bottom of the 10th with the runner on second base, which was Yerkes and Profar. Well, Bob Melvin decides to pinch hit Josh Bell. Josh Bell, a big left-hand hitter. Of course, we know he's a switch hitter, but he's going against Tommy Canley, the reliever for the Dodgers, who, by the way, has really pitched well the last couple of nights against the Padres. But Canley on the mound, and Josh Bell, you know, doesn't get a hit, but the runner does get over to third base. I mean, Profar, boy, that was a little bit of a gamble. Trey Turner on that ground ball, you thought, man, he may go to third, but he got the sure out at first. Okay, so Josh Bell grounds out. Then up comes Trent Grisham. And everybody I know listening to the ball game, watching the game on TV, people in the stands know the struggles that Trent Grisham has had. And Trent Grisham looked absolutely lost at the plate against Tommy Canley. For that second strike, they tried a suicide squeeze. He fouled it off. Then he ended up striking out. And then Ha-Seong Kim, you know, hit a little comeback or a little worm burner in front of the plate. Canley picked it up and threw it over to Freddie Freeman to end the ballgame. A lot of people were really second-guessing Bob Melvin last night. 2 ways. Number one, why didn't you let Aaron Nola hit, or I should say Austin Nola, why you didn't let him hit? Because he's been swinging the bat very well against the right-hander Tommy Canley, who throws a fastball and a changeup. And then you allowed Trent Grisham to bat when he's hitting under 190, and you got a guy like Jorge Alfaro who's been great in clutch situations. We know he's got the 4 walk-off hits. He had the walk-off walk the other night. But Jorge Alfaro, even though he strikes out a lot, he's the type of guy that might be able to maybe not get a hit, but at least get you a sac fly, put the ball in play somewhere. The Dodgers had to bring their infield in. You never know. But I thought it was interesting. And I said this yesterday. I kind of defended Trent Grisham yesterday. And you know what? I'm going to defend Bob Melvin and Trent Grisham today. Because Bob Melvin said after the game last night, the Padres are there at their best when Trent Grisham is in the lineup. And I agree with that. I totally agree with that. That's why I said yesterday when people were calling to bash Trent Grisham, I said, hey, you got to get this guy going. He may not get going, but he gives you an opportunity defensively. Normally he lays down the bunt last night. That's a tough situation. You got the runner on third. And it was kind of a gutsy call, I thought, by Bob Melvin, because a lot of times when you got a left-hand batter at the plate, it's very easy for a guy like Will Smith to step out, and Canely, if he detects it early, he can just pitch out, and they either tag him out or they get him in a rundown and eventually tag him out. But it was a gutsy call by Bob Melvin, and Trent Grisham unfortunately fouled the ball off, and then the next pitch struck out. But a lot of people really getting at the Padre manager today. Last night after the game, man, I was amazed how many people were critical of Bob Melvin last night. And you know what? That's a great thing about baseball. We all have our opinions. You know, I really didn't think twice about it. You know, I kind of thought, well, you know, Josh Bell's not swinging it that well, but you know what? He can maybe get you a fly ball, maybe he drives one into the gap, and now you got a run in. You got a guy on second base with nobody out. I know what Melvin was thinking. Not only that, he's trying to keep a guy like Josh Bell mentally into it. And the same thing with Trent Grisham. I mean, Trent Grisham, I mean, he really needs an extended vacation in Hawaii or Cabo right now. You can tell, I mean, he's just lost mentally right now at the plate. And I don't know if the Padres have the wherewithal right now in their coaching staff to get him back mentally. I mean, fundamentally, there's some things he has to do. He's got to get in a better hitting position earlier. You know, I'd say the same thing about Bellinger. I'm watching Bellinger last night. He's late on everything. I mean, it's better to get started early than try to get started late because you never catch up. It's like a pitcher who opens his front side. You never catch up with your arm. But I'm watching Trent Grisham last night. When he strikes out and he's walking back to the dugout, I mean, he looks like a man without a country right now. But you know what? His manager showed some confidence in him. Now, I don't know who exactly what the Dodgers are going to do. I heard last night they're going to go with Brusdar Gratterall today. Still not determined on who the Padres are going to pitch. Bob Melvin, he evaded that like the plague last night in the post game. He goes, we got to sit down and talk about it. You know, I think they'll probably go with Yu Darvish. I would think they would probably go with Yu Darvish. I hope they're not panicking because they're still sitting in pretty good shape right now. They're still sitting in pretty good shape. Don't panic. Go with the plan you had. And I think the plan was probably if they won the first two games, they'd go with Manaea and they'd go with Darvish tomorrow night in game one against the White Sox. I hope the Padres, that they really think through this and don't panic because, you know, the way Manaea's pitched right now, he could go out and he hadn't pitched well against the Dodgers. We know that. We know the Padres would like to avoid Manaea going against the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers have really beaten him up and hit him for home runs, and, you know, he just hasn't had any success at all. So, you know, maybe they go with Darvish tonight, but if they were to lose tonight with Darvish on the mound, then they can probably have to go with Manaea tomorrow night. Somewhere along the line, Sean Manaea's got to get a start or two before the end of the year. You know, I hope his last start is the last game of the year in a meaningless game against the Giants. And by the way, I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to the Giants. They haven't exactly rolled over, covered up, and dug a hole for themselves. Yeah, they dug a hole for themselves early in the year, but their goal right now is to finish better than 500. And I got news for you. They're only a game under. So what that tells me is when they come in here on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they're not going to just be playing a bunch of guys to get a look at guys for next year. Gabe Kapler wants to finish over 500. And so you got a very hungry ball club coming in. Now, the White Sox, on the other hand, they got all kinds of issues right now, all kinds of issues. I read last night they don't know whether or not Tony La Russa is going to come back. Remember, he had that pacemaker implanted in him a couple of weeks ago. He has not been cleared to come back and manage the remainder of the year. Miguel Cairo, a longtime player for La Russa in St. Louis, is a skipper right now, kind of the interim skipper. But last night, last thing I did before I went to bed, I was reading something from one of the Chicago papers. And they're talking about, you know, what are the White Sox going to do for a manager next year? Is La Russa going to come back? First, they got to figure out if he's coming back. Does Jerry Reinsdorf want him back? Or is it time for Tony to go out to pasture and maybe still be involved with the organization but not be the everyday skipper? Would they give Miguel Cairo the job? But their leading candidate, their number one candidate they want to talk to is our old buddy, Bruce Bochy, who right now is managing Team France. For the World Baseball Classic. I don't know if Boch wants to come back. He's 67 years of age. He's had a few years off now, really enjoying his wife, his boys, his grandkids. lives part of the year in Nashville, the other part out here in Poway. I don't know if he wants to come back. You heard Joe Maddon's name. You heard Joe Girardi. I don't know if Girardi's going to get a job all that quick. I mean, you know, he did a poor job in Philadelphia, and you can pick him apart. You can pick Dave Dombrowski apart. But I think Joe Girardi right now may need to sit out a little bit longer. So that'll be interesting to see what kind of ball club shows up, because they've already been eliminated. They've been eliminated from the division. They've been eliminated from the wild card. Or are their players just going to go through the motions Friday, Saturday, Sunday and play out the string early next week? Or are they going to come in and really compete against our Padres? That'll be interesting. But the task at hand tonight is to win this ball game for a couple of reasons. Number one, show that you can beat the Dodgers in a series, because if the Dodgers win tonight, the Padres will have dropped the last nine series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I look at the record for the year, the Padres against the Dodgers. We know it's not good. With the loss last night, the Padres are now 5-13 against L.A. this year, 3-5 at Petco, and only 2-8 in L.A. I mean, it would be a big win for the Padres. Not only that, it would chip away at that magic number. I still and really believe the Padres are going to get in the playoffs. But that game last night was a gut punch. And you've got the guys at the tail end of your lineup that are just flat out not getting the job done. I mean, Nolan's doing a nice job, upped his average to .252. And you know what? He's actually made something out of his season. I mean, there for a while, you kind of wondered, man, is this guy even going to be back next year? I do think he'll be back. I think he's done a really nice job of catching. I know there was that pass ball last night. I know. Two nights in a row, pass balls in critical situations. But the Padre pitching staff pitched really, really well last night. And that should not be overlooked. They had 13 strikeouts last night. I mean, Big Joe did a great job last night, five innings of four hits. Tim Hill came in. And I talked yesterday about attacking the strike zone. And the Padres, some of their guys must have been listening, because they really attacked the strike zone big time last night. They weren't nibbling against the Dodgers. They were going at them. Tim Hill last night, his one inning, 15 pitches. He threw 10 strikes. Luis Garcia retired to the side on 10 pitches, pounding the strike zone. Nick Martinez last night came in, one walk, a strikeout, 15 pitches, 10 strikes, pounded the strike zone. If you can get a major league ball club out between 12 and 15 pitches in an inning, that's a hell of a job. And then Josh Hader came in. He looked good last night, a couple of punch-outs. Steven Wilson, he ended up getting tagged for that unearned run and took the loss last night. But I thought he threw the ball pretty well in that one. And he gave up that little dunker to Freddie Freeman. He had a couple of strikeouts, took the loss. His record now 4-2. I mean, there were some bright signs by the Padre pitching staff last night. And, of course, Urias and the Dodger guys did a hell of a job last night. That was a great baseball game, but a really, really frustrating baseball game. But Bob Melvin taking a lot of heat. Trent Grisham taking a lot of heat. Where do you stand on this, folks? I want to hear from you today. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Before we get to the first break, I want to wish happy birthday to a couple of buddies of mine. One of them, Tim Flannery, the longtime Padre player, Padre coach, great guy. Him and his group had a great turnout last weekend at the Belly Up here in Solana Beach. Tim Flannery today turns 65 years of age. And very happy to have Tim with us. A couple of years ago, remember he got that really, really bad bacterial infection? And he almost didn't make it. But it's great to celebrate his 61st birthday, and he's up and at him and doing a hell of a job and doing a lot of great stuff in our community and a lot of other communities to raise money for charities. And the heater, Heath Bell, turns 45 today. Of course, Heath Bell did a great job in a Padre uniform. Had a great career here in San Diego. You know, once he got to San Diego, his career really took off. And, you know, I got a lot of great memories of Heath Bell. I remember the first time I ever met him. I was speaking out at the Del Mar Fair. They asked me to come out and talk Padre baseball with a group of fans. And the speaker on the docket after me was Heath Bell. And Heath Bell was out in the crowd, shaking hands, eating ice cream, having a great old time. And he went on and had a very, very nice major league career. It was big years here in San Diego, so a very happy 45th birthday today to the heater, Heath Bell. We'll take a timeout. I expect phone calls today. I really expect phone calls because, number one, it was a good baseball game last night, well played. The Padres made the one error last night, but it was a well-played ball game. It could have gone either way, but that was a heartbreaker. And, of course, I guess if you're a Dodger fan, it was a heartbreaker the other night when Craig Kimbrell walked home the winning run. But you got the rubber game tonight. And I would think tonight, last night, again, they had a little over 32,000. Last time to see the Dodgers go against the Padres this year in the regular season. Hopefully we're going to get them in the second round of the playoffs. But I want to hear from you folks tonight. The Rubber Game, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back, I'll tell you about our guest list today. We got our college football pick'em segment at 1 o'clock with Skyler. She did pretty good last week. Me and Braden, not so good, but I did well on my upset pick. But we'll get into that a little bit later on. But when we come back, your phone calls. Leading off on a big Thursday, Coach John Quintero headed at 2 o'clock, and Gwen and Chris right here on San Diego's number one sports station. Thanks for tuning in daily, 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Coach John Quintero. Thanks for downloading and listening to The John Quintero Show. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.